Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 47. And we have the story of somebody getting invited over for dinner. We all like to get invited over, don't we? Everybody likes to get invited over for dinner. Well, Jesus got invited over for dinner, although I don't think the motives of the person who was the host was, I don't think the motives were pure. But Jesus went, and we're going to read this story tonight, and it's got a good message to us around this time of Thanksgiving. It's about, again, gratitude. And so Luke chapter 7, I'll read verse 36, and if you want to join me on verse 37, and then every other verse down through verse 47 tonight. So Luke 7, verses 36 through 47. It says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Let's pray. Father, bless this time of Bible study together as we look into your word. Help us to learn and be challenged. And Lord, just to be encouraged at the same time. Lord, as we meet together, speak to our hearts, Lord, meet needs, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, the story is quite an interesting story. It reads a little funny because we're not used to some of the customs. If you understand some of the customs of that day, how they would recline, how they would sit at a table, you'd understand why Jesus' feet were behind him, and the woman could come in and clean his feet, anoint them, and put the ointment on his feet. How they had the custom of washing the feet, of course, when they would enter in. The Pharisee, again, Pharisees were very religious. They kept the law. They were just perfect. For whatever reason, he invited Jesus, and Jesus accepted the invitation to come to the house for the dinner. And in the middle of the dinner, here comes this woman who the Pharisee said she's a sinner, as if he's not. But again, he said, if Jesus realized what kind of woman this was that was touching him and kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment, he would say something. He wouldn't allow that if he were a prophet. So this Pharisee the whole time, see, he's not accepting the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. He wants to have him come in so he can examine him, maybe find some kind of fault. So I don't believe his motives really here are pure. But Jesus went ahead and came anyway. So Jesus took the opportunity and said, Simon, I've got a question for you here. And now let me tell you a story. And Simon, just like you and I, we would listen to the story, and Jesus tells a simple story. and two people that owe money. One man owed 10 times as much as another man. And so he said, when the master forgave them both, who do you think loved him more? And he says, well, obviously, you'd think, I'd suppose, the person that owed him the most would thank him the most. He says, you judge rightly, that is correct. So the question is here, and the statement is made that the person who's forgiven much loves much. But listen, forgiveness, again, we have to realize, stop and think about this now. There are some people who, they're just a little sinner. Just maybe the Pharisee, you know, it's just like the other man in Luke chapter 18. Remember how he went down and prayed thus with himself, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like this publican over here. And I'm thankful that I tithe of all that I earn. I'm thankful that I fast and all of the things that he was trying to, he's just praying with himself. He wasn't praying to God. The other man that smote upon his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That got God's attention. He said that man went down to his house justified because his humility, and he realized his need. He realized how needy he really was. Did you know that the closer a person is to God, the closer we get to God, the more sinful we realize we are? A person who says, oh, I'm okay. You know, I mess up here and there just a little bit once in a while. But, you know, I pay my taxes and I'm good to my neighbor. I'm a good citizen. I vote, you know. I do what I'm, their self-estimation, they're pretty good. On a scale of 1 to 10, you know, I'm maybe 8 or, yeah. So, listen, the person that gets a glimpse of God like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, remember that story where he saw the Lord high and lifted up, his train filled the temple. What were the words that came out of Isaiah's mouth? He said, woe is me, for I am undone. He says, I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. And he talked about, I have unclean lips. Isaiah saw his wretchedness. He saw how sinful he was. Listen, if we were able tonight to stand in the very presence of the Lord Jesus, we would fall at his feet. We would lay prostrate. We wouldn't be able to stand in his presence. You look at all of the appearances of Jesus, even in the book of Revelation and Daniel and other people that got into the very presence of God, they fell at their feet, at his feet, and they fell on their faces before him. And they realized how unworthy and sinful we are. So the closer you get to light, by the way, the easier it is to see the dirt and the sin and the fault and the problems that are in our lives. But the problem is a lot of people, they don't see that they're that big of a sinner. They're not that big of a debtor. When God forgave them, it was just a little bit. And so consequently, Jesus in this story teaches us that their heart isn't filled with that much gratitude. Thank you, Lord, I appreciate it. I'm going to heaven. And there's other people that are overwhelmed. How could God be so merciful to forgive me of all of my sin? Listen, we're all sinners. One person explained it like this, where when he was trying to say, we've all come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Some people more than others. Yes, I realize that. You think of people in history like Adolf Hitler and other people that were responsible for the death of so many people they murdered and just the evil people that are there. You know, there had those people turned to Christ and repented, there was enough power in the blood of Christ that he would have forgiven every sin. He could do that. It's like a man, though, jumping over a chasm. Let's say that it's a 15-foot chasm. Now, I'm not going to be able to span that. I'm not going to be able to get a running jump and jump 15 feet across the chasm that's bottomless. I'm going to get about 10 feet, maybe, if I'm lucky. And then the rest is way down. That would be a lot more feet, but I would never make it to the other side. There might be an Olympiad that could get 12 feet or 13 feet. But guess what? We're all in the same boat. We're all going down. Some person may be able to run and get 2 feet and jump and dive. We're all going to hit the bottom, folks. We're all sinners. Nobody can arrive. We're all sinners. But the person who is small in their own eyes and realizes that they're exceeding sinful, there is a gratitude, just like this woman. She was weeping. Her sins had been forgiven. She was thankful. Simon's just kind of sitting there observing it, looking like, and I'm sure Simon thought he was okay. I'm okay. I'm good. And there's a lot of people. I've talked to people. It's hard to believe it, but there have been times people have said, they don't think they're sinners. Really? Okay. I don't understand that, how somebody can. You mean you've never lied? No, you just did. I mean, right there. You've never thought a bad thought? You've never said a wrong word? There's so many things that could be said about that, but when we realize how indebted we truly are, then that's when we're able to express our real gratitude to the Lord. And so our hearts should be filled with gratitude. This time of year, when we get to Thanksgiving, there are so many blessings. There are so many things you could write down. And really, it takes time. It really does. It takes time. And I brought a whole thing here about the proclamation of Thanksgiving because of time. I was going to read that, but I think what I'm going to do is rather read this short illustration of this thinking and thanking, because you have to think and stop and consider in order to be grateful, to think of all of what God's done for us. It takes time. There are things that come to our mind right away, immediately. Of course, we're Americans. We live in this country. In our health, in our family, in our salvation, there's spiritual blessings. There's family blessings. There's national blessings. There are material blessings. There's so many different things that we can think about. But this little illustration comes, it's entitled Think and Thank. The words thank and think hail from the same root, reminding us that Thanksgiving comes from thinking about our blessings. Helen Keller once said, "I have often thought it would be a blessing if each human being were stricken blind and deaf for a few days at some time during his early adult life. It would make him more appreciative of sight and the joys of sound." Now, stop and think about that for a minute. That's a true statement. Helen Keller, both deaf and mute. And that's an amazing story about her. But she said that it wouldn't do any hurt, probably, for every young adult, every person, to be deprived of their sight for a couple days. And hearing. She was blind, deaf, mute. All three, I believe. Helen Keller was all three. It's an amazing story. We take those things for granted. And when you go through an adverse situation in your life, you learn after that to never take for granted that particular area again, that particular thing. It says, Senator Richard Neuberger once said, "The experience of contracting cancer changed him. A change came over me which I believe is irreversible. Questions of prestige, of political success," and he was a politician. So he says, "Questions of prestige, of political success, of financial status became all at once unimportant. In their stead has come a new appreciation of things I once took for granted. Eating lunch with a friend, scratching Muffet's ears and listening for his purr. The company of my wife. Reading a book or magazine in the quiet cone of my bed lamp at night. Raiding the refrigerator for a glass of orange juice or a slice of coffee cake. For the first time, I think I am actually savoring life." The little things, the things that all of a sudden he got a new perspective, a new focus when he got cancer. He realized the things that were really important in his life and the things that weren't important. And he said, "I shudder when I remember all the occasions that I spoiled for myself, even when I was in the best of health, by false pride, synthetic values, and fancied slights. And you know, again, we do a lot of complaining. We really do. We do a lot of complaining. I'll have my hand up and I confess it. Confession's good for the soul. We complain, don't we? We do complain. But we need to stop and step back from it and realize daily the mercies of the Lord, like Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 say. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. And because his compassions fail not, they're new every morning. I'm thankful for that. God's gracious and he's forgiving. He's patient. He's kind. He's loving. He's just. He does, but God loves us. One other illustration I wanted to read. It's called "You Are a Rich Man." Again, we take a lot of things for granted in this country as Americans. This is called "You Are a Rich Man." This is taken out of Nelson's book of stories and illustrations that I have here. He said, "Dr. Robert Hill, author of over 40 books, tells of visiting Bangkok, Thailand, where he was invited to a special celebration given by the king and queen. His Thai guide, a young man named Joseph, asked several questions as he drove them to the pavilion. He knew a little English and was delighted to carry on a conversation. When he asked where the Hills lived, they told him Richmond, Virginia. 'Oh, you are a rich man,' asked the boy. Bob laughed and told him, 'No, he wasn't rich.' Bob recalled, then he asked, my phone is trying to go off and I've silenced it, but I guess it's still going. I don't understand why, but it's making noises. So in my family, I think it's supposed to, I must have disconnected my Bluetooth or something. Okay, well, that's interesting. Hopefully it won't keep chiming or I'll have to turn it down. So I'm in the middle of this story. So when he says, "Oh, you're a rich man," and Bob laughed and told him, "No, he wasn't rich." And Bob recalled, then he asked if we owned an automobile. And I told him we had two cars in our family. His next question was about the house where we lived. I told him it was a rather simple house with 10 rooms. He was amazed at its size, especially when he related his and his family lived in just two small rooms. Then he asked about our family. We told him we had four healthy children, two in college and two still at home. Joseph was silent for a moment or so, and then he replied, "You are a rich man." And we laughed, but deep in our hearts we knew he was right, though we had never thought of it in those terms. We were rich, but were we thankful? And we've heard it said many a times, the poor people in this country are rich in the world standards. But look at where we are today. There's nothing wrong with having good things. That's the blessing of God, and we thank God for the blessings. What we have to realize, they're all from the very hand of God, and we need to stop. This is where we fail. We don't stop and take the time to thank God like we should, and to vocalize to God our praise. And that's the reason why the book of Psalms is one of my favorite books. That's my favorite book in the Bible. And somebody had recently, and then preacher or somebody asked me, said, "Well, what's your favorite psalm?" I said, "Well, I didn't think have to think too long. I said it'd have to be Psalm 23. And I know that's just a simple psalm. It's probably the one of the most familiar portions of Scripture other than John 3:16 that the world can quote it to you, you know. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." I always joke about that with the boy that quoted it incorrectly. He stood up in Sunday school class and said, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want." And I thought, you know, but that's, I like that version too, because that's all I need, and that's all. The Lord is my, think about it, personal. He could say he's my shepherd. What's a shepherd do? A shepherd guards, he protects, he guides, he provides. He taught all of the different things that the shepherd does, the provision, the guidance, protection, the promises, the way it ends. It says, "And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I mean, but to stop and to think and count the blessings that God's given to us. The spiritual realm, salvation. I mentioned it on Sunday. We don't take the time, and that's the reason why it's so important to meditate. And meditation takes time. But in the stillness and quietness, wherever you can find it, whether it be evening, morning, afternoon, wherever you get alone with God, and it's important that we get alone with God where it's still and it's quiet. It's more challenging this from here on out through the New Year's. The holiday times are pretty crazy. They really are. But it can be done. It can be done if it's on purpose. We can purposely say, I'm setting this time, I'm getting quiet, I'm getting still, and I'm looking up to heaven and I'm thanking God for saving me. And not just saying, say, and going on, stop and recount the circumstances and people that God used in your life to bring you to himself. Salvation. We take for granted the indwelling Spirit of God. He indwells us. And the Bible says He'll never leave us or forsake us. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption when we stand in His very presence. Think about this. We have the Spirit of God that will guide us into all truth. He wants to guide us. He comforts us. He uses it, His Word, and that's the reason why the Word of God is vital. Daily we have to get into it and digest it and claim the promises and grab onto Him, because the Spirit of God, He's the author. The Word of God, I mentioned, is... Then we think about our family and friends that God... Every person that you've met in your life, it's not been by chance. It's a God's designed and ordained the people that come into our lives. God brings certain people into our lives for reasons. And you can start naming people in your life. I can name people in my life. I can go down a list of people. Just a quick example. I stand here each week and say the pledge to the Christian flag. When I say the pledge to the Christian flag, one person comes to my mind, I think of Harold Floyer. He'll probably never hear this. I told him, though. I got to see Harold Floyer just a month ago when I was in Illinois. He was in Peoria, Illinois. And I told Harold, I said, Harold, I think of you every Sunday when I say the pledge to the Christian flag. Harold and Joanne used to come over here. They're the sowers. They'd come on the summertime and they'd frequent our services and your blessing. But I told him, I said, I never really knew the pledge to the Christian flag until I went to Peoria Christian School. Then we'd always start the school day off with the pledge to the Christian flag. And I'd always think of Harold when he was here, and I told him, I said, he was one of the men that responsible for me getting to go to that Christian school when I was a senior. And I think of people like that in my life regularly that God has brought into my life that I'm so much better for that. By the way, and preachers mentioned it before in his messages, when you give your friends to God, or when you commit your life to the Lord, He'll bring people into your life that you need, that can help you, and that you can also in turn be a blessing to them. But thank God for family. Thank God for our friends. National blessings. I mentioned just the fact that we live in the greatest country in the world. Think about that. If you've ever been out of this country, you realize it. And my eyes were open when I was able to go with our pastor to Argentina back in 2006 and 2008. Richest Latin American country, they say, and it is. But I thought to myself, if this is the richest, I don't want to see the poorest. And I realized the things we take for granted here, our law enforcement, our laws, when we get out of the country and you see how so much corruption is there. And it's just things that we take for granted. And preacher has told the story a lot. He got out of the airport in Colorado Springs and knelt down and kissed the concrete, saying, thank you for America. Thank you. And we both felt the same way. Just thank you, Lord. And I thank God for that often. I'm thankful for citizenship in this great country. Yeah, it's got its faults. But you don't like this country, just go to another country then and see how well you do there. And the material blessings. Think about that for a minute. We have so many things we can live without, we don't need, but they're luxuries. And again, I don't feel guilty. I feel blessed, and I'm thankful and gratitude. I give God the thanks for it all. But the many blessings that we enjoy, the Bible says they're all from God. Every good gift and perfect gift, it comes from the Father of lights, with whom there's no change or variableness. God's so good to us. He gives us our needs, but then he gives us much more. And our responsibility, and it's like I said on Sunday, we need to brush up and practice this all year long. This is a good refresher right now. Concentrate on this one thing that, listen, through this next year, I want to consciously, regularly be thankful and talk to God and praise him for everything he's blessed me with. And I could start writing, and you and I could start writing. We could write till midnight, literally. Write it out. And it wouldn't hurt us to do that, to write down just one area, just the spiritual blessings. Book of Ephesians is talk about how he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. And I mentioned things that we take for granted. The very fact that we can bow our heads, or we don't even have to bow our head, we can pray at any moment of any time, any day, day and night. Lift our heart to God and cry out to him. He's there. He's always there. He never leaves us, never will forsake us. That's a spiritual blessing that you can't put price tags on these things. Eternal security, the peace that passes all understanding. No money can buy that. Many times I'll see huge mansions that you'll see it on television, or you'll see places, and I'll say, you know what? I don't need that. And I wouldn't take that over what I've got. There's nothing you could give me that would be worth any of the spiritual blessings that I have. And I'm so thankful for that. And I like doing this with my grandchildren. And there have been times I've told them, I said, you know, if somebody came up to me and offered me all of the money in this world, and that's a lot. I don't know how much that is. Quintillions. Octillion. Whatever, decillion, we can keep going to the amount of money in the entire world. They'd give me all the money in the world for you. I'd say, no way. You can take that money. I want you. I don't want anything. I said, you're worth to me more than all the money in the world. And without fail, the big smile comes on their face, because they kind of get a sense of how important they really are to me. I mean, it's like, there's nothing you could give me that I would trade for you. Not all the money in the world, not all the money in the world. Somebody stand here right now, out there with a semi-trailer full of $100 bills, and said, we'll give you all of this money just for you. And I said, nope, take that. I said, get it out of here, I want you. And the same thing is true in our lives. We need to realize right here, you ever just take the Bible and grab it and hold it, and say, Lord, how precious is your word. I rejoice that your word is one that finds great spoil, great treasure. This right here is more to me than millions of dollars. You say, you take millions of dollars of the word of God, I'll take the word of God. I don't care. Listen, God will take care of my needs. I don't need $1 million. What am I going to do with $1 million? I'll get away from God is what I'll do. And the reason why most of us don't have $1 million is because he knows that's exactly what would happen. We'd be too busy spending it. We wouldn't even taking time to read the Bible anymore. But I'm thankful for God. Listen, he gives us this plus all the blessings that I enjoy today. So all of that to just say, let's stop. Take the time tonight, tomorrow morning. Many of us do. But not just during Thanksgiving. Of course, we always challenge ourselves. Do it in January, in the month of February, March, and April, May, June, just right on through the year. Thank you, Lord, because it gives you a whole new outlook on life, just like that doctor, just like that man, that author, that guy, he came out and he realized all of a sudden the things that were truly important. There are people right now today with all the money in the world, they would, if they could get good health, they'd give it, they'd buy it. They'd take everything they had and say, I'll trade you. I'll trade you my mansion, I'll trade you my wealth, my fortune, if I could just have your health. Do you realize what a treasure we have? Our spiritual blessings, our physical blessings, our family. We've got a treasure that is untold. We can't even begin to put a price on it. So all praise to God. We thank God. And at this Thanksgiving, as we sit around a table with our family, we realize the blessings. Our hearts are overflowing. It should be overflowing over onto other people, the praise and gratitude for God's blessings, because they're very real. So let's remember that during this holiday season, and I'm going to stop because it's a quarter till. So let's all stand together for prayer. We'll be dismissed. And thank God for, there's the proclamation. You all realize it was Abraham Lincoln, of course, that during his administration. Well, even as early as George Washington did proclaim a day of Thanksgiving about 74 years before, or that's quite, actually, more than that, a number of years before Lincoln's, but it became law back in during the Civil War time, and Lincoln made a proclamation that the last Thursday of November would be celebrated and nationally, and I'm thankful for that. It's a great holiday. Let's stand, and we'll thank God for the service, and then ask him to give us safety and a blessed day.